I have a dream.
One small step.
Well,
the wall must go.
China, Princess of Wales.
Crashed into the World Trade Center.
Winner is Sydney.
This week in history.
Tonight, for This Week in History, we are revisiting a particularly bloody and horrendous episode, really. It involves a Spanish explorer and conquistador and an Inca general. The Inca Empire spanned parts of present-day Peru, Chile, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Colombia. And this week in 1532, Inca general Atahualpa was captured by the Spanish and held for ransom. Now, despite being guaranteed his safety, he was eventually killed, and his death really marked, I suppose, the end of the Inca Empire and paved the way for the Spanish colonisation of South America. To tell us all about it is Dr. Heidi Sogbaum, who is a lecturer at the Institute of Latin American Studies at La Trobe University. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for chatting to us.
Thank you, Sarah.
So, just give us back some historical context to this drama and the Inca Empire. Take us back to the Inca Empire at this time.
The Inca Empire was huge, as you just indicated. It ran about 3,000 kilometres along the coast of South America, and it became somewhat unmanageable. So the last supreme Inca, or the Inca king or emperor, he was called Huayna Capac. He decided to partition off the northern part and put it under the military control of his second son, who was not a legitimate son. He was the son of a concubine. However, Huayna Capac suddenly and unexpectedly during a campaign died. And not only he died, quite a number in his army died as well. And the symptoms they showed was blisters, sores, high fever, and after a few days, he died. That was a very probably smallpox. We don't know very much about that. The Incas did not have any writing system. So all their records would be oral, and there are not very many of them. But the succession of the Inca Empire was not determined yet. It is also possible that the successor, Huayna Capac, had already given the orders to that he died with him. So he had two sons left. One was Huascar. Huascar was a legitimate son of one of his wives, and the other one was Atahualpa. Now,
he was the illegitimate one from the concubine.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he had been sent north to what today is Ecuador to look after the army. So he was not a king. He was probably not even a governor in his own right. He did not rule. He was the military commander of a very powerful army. Huascar was supposed to inherit the empire. And not very surprisingly, Atahualpa did not like that. So he took his army and marched south. And he defeated the army of his brother Huascar, quite close to Cusco, the capital city of the Inca Empire, which is quite in the south of Peru. When that happened, he could not kill Huascar. Huascar escaped. What he did instead was he killed the entire family of Huascar so that there would be no other pretenders. And then, flush with victory, he marched north, back into his area of Ecuador, and he stopped in what today is Cajamarca, or close to Cajamarca. There was a spa there, and he just thought he needed to bathe a little bit and recover and pamper himself. And that is where he came upon Pizarro.
All right. Now, who was Pizarro?
Pizarro was actually a very unfortunate chap in so far. He was also an illegitimate son. But in Spain, that was worse than an illegitimate son of the Inca Empire, of the Inca Emperor. His father was an army officer. And generally, illegitimate children, they had no surname of dignity. They usually had no surname at all. That was why many in Pizarro's troop actually adopted the names of the villages or townships they came from, like Sebastián de Benalcázar or Diego de Oñate. These are not names. These are townships. Now, Pizarro was born to a servant, and he had three brothers, legitimate brothers, Gonzalo, Juan, and Hernando. Now, as an illegitimate son, he had very little prospect in Spain to ever amount to anything. He was illiterate, which was also quite normal for illegitimate children. And therefore, he took his leave, and in 1502, he sailed to the Americas. He stayed for a while in Cuba, and then he sailed from Cuba to what today is the Isthmus of Panama. And he was one of the very first Europeans to actually see the Pacific. And he was one of the founders of the city of Panama.
Right. And what is it? So we call him a Spanish conquistador. What does that actually mean, though?
It means it. A conquistador is somebody who makes conquests.
For himself or for the Spanish nation?
You could never make conquests for yourselves. They always had to be authorized.
Right.
So you always conquered for and not for Spain, for Castile. It was the crown of Castile mm-hmm. who ran all of this.
Yeah. For the royal crown.
Yeah.
So here we have these two men who were illegitimate, but both very keen on power, I'm assuming, and proving themselves. And they met, and Pizarro invited the Inca general to attend a feast in his honour. Why was he doing this? Was he always out to trap him?
I don't think it quite happened like that. It was Atahualpa who actually allowed Pizarro to come all the way into the Inca Empire. Cajamarca is far inland. To come all the way into the Inca Empire, and he allowed him to go into Cajamarca. Now, a few days earlier, they had a camp outside Cajamarca, and Atahualpa sent an emissary. And the emissary just had a look around, you know, the usual assessment, little spying and so on. And he came to the conclusion that these Spaniards don't amount to anything. They were dithering. They didn't know what to do. And another Spaniard, also by the name of Pizarro, but he wasn't a member of the family, he wrote later on that grown men wet their pants in fear because Atahualpa had a battle-ready army standing just outside Cajamarca. Pizarro had 150 men and 30 horses. Now, horses are not necessarily of an advantage in the geography of Peru because it was always called a vertical empire because you cannot really maneuver a horse. A horse is only good for you, and the same goes for artillery if you have got a long, flat space ahead of you. So Pizarro had a comparatively simple plan. He wanted to do the same thing that his cousin, Hernán Cortés, had done in Mexico. And, I mean, it's one of the oldest military rules. You incapacitate an army by cutting off its head, by taking its command structure out. And it was quite clear to Pizarro that, in fact, there was only one commander of that army. So what he had to do is he had to get physically hold of Atahualpa. So the two of them agreed they would have a meeting in Cajamarca. What Pizarro then did was he deliberately set a trap. He had promised Atahualpa that he could come without weaponry, they wouldn't attack, and of course Atahualpa believed him. What would 150 Spaniards do against him? Right? And he had an oracle that had told him he would get rid of the Spaniards. He had plans for the Spaniards. Ah. He wanted to kill most, castrate a few, keep them in his household. But what he really wanted were their horses. He wanted to breed their horses. So he had plans for the future. And what Pizarro did was, the market square of Cajamarca is, first of all, is quite large. And secondly, it's got arcades running around it. So he, in fact, hid his horses, his artillery, and his men. He hid them deep in the arcades so that when Atahualpa marched into Cajamarca, carried on his litter by 80 lords and then many other lords coming in after him, he couldn't see anyone.
But he did come unarmed, and he had troops with him, but they didn't have any.
No,
any
the troops
weaponry.
They were outside.
Right.
They were outside.
I mean, all of them were outside.
Yeah.
He only brought his
lords. Mm-hmm. And you are looking at something like 7,500 people. Right? I mean, and you had 150 Spaniards. What did he have to fear? Nothing. So out comes a priest. And the priest gives him a book. And the book, of course, is the Bible. And Atahualpa has never seen a book. There were no books in the Inca Empire. He gives him a book and then starts with a long rave about Christianity and how wonderful it all is, and you should all convert. And here in this book, of course, Atahualpa didn't understand a thing.
I was going to understand, could they speak the same language?
Of course not.
Right.
Of course not.
So
but that was not the issue.
Right.
That was not the issue. So Atahualpa takes this book, looks at it from front, back, and so on, cannot make head or tail of it, and throws it away. Throws it down.
Ooh.
And that was the sign that Pizarro was waiting for. And he then gave the command, and then they brought the artillery and the horses and so on out and created a total and utter bloodbath. The market square of Cajamarca was swimming in blood. Of course, the lords who upheld his litter, they had to see to it that Atahualpa would not touch the ground. But in the process, they were just all mowed down by swords, by artillery, whatever came next. The market square had been sealed by the Spaniards. A few of them got away. And when the army saw some of the Inca lords running out of the city, many of them bloodied already, and Spaniards behind him, they just broke ranks and the army dissolved. So no more army.
No more Inca army.
No more Inca army of 30,000 standing there. The thing is, there was no commander for the army anyway. So nothing would
Because he was trapped
happened.
In the square.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Atahualpa was now a prisoner. And the first thing he did was, but he was still functioning as a commander. So the first command he gave was to the armies that could be reached that they would surrender. Okay? And then he started to negotiate with Pizarro. A few years earlier, they had captured three Incas from a raft they encountered, and had taught them Spanish. So the negotiation went on, and Atahualpa understood very quickly what the Spaniards were
okay,
after.
So they had some translators who acted between them. Okay.
No good translators, might
right. I okay, yeah, there was probably a lot that went by the wayside. We're talking about This Week in History, and we're going back to when the Inca general Atahualpa was captured by the Spanish and held for ransom in 1532. So they had this negotiation, and what was the ransom? Do we know what they wanted, what the Spanish wanted?
Oh, yes. Atahualpa understood that very quickly. The Spaniards wanted gold. And a gold to the Inca was not really much more than they used it to represent the sun in many ways, because, you know, it did not tarnish and it looked like the sun. So what he promised is that the room in which he was held captive, which is about 88 cubic meters, he would fill that with gold. So he sent out orders that all the shrines, all the palaces would be stripped and the gold brought to Cajamarca.
Right, that, now, because they had a lot of gold, but it wasn't that precious to them, they're saying.
No. And one of his remarks was, and it is really striking, he said, what do they want gold for? They have got iron.
Yes, it's all relative.
So
anyway,
they all started to live together in Cajamarca, and they actually all came to appreciate Atahualpa. Atahualpa was quite a clever man, and they taught him chess. So every afternoon, a group of them sat together and they played chess outside. So it is said, I personally don't believe it, because it was not in the nature of Pizarro, that Pizarro, when he was forced to kill Atahualpa, that he cried. I think these were crocodile tears. And anyway, if they were real tears, they didn't last very long.
So we'll get to the killing in just a moment. So the treasures started coming in and to make the Spanish rich.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So why didn't they let him go? Was that never the plan? Was it always the plan to kill him?
Yes and no. The point really was Atahualpa still had power. And of course, by having him in Cajamarca, he still operated as a ruler. For instance, he sent out a group of murderers to murder his brother Huascar, who was on the way to Cajamarca. Which was the dumbest thing he could have done, because that deprived the Inca of all leadership after Atahualpa's death.
But why did he do that? Because he thought he was going to get out and he wanted to be the ruler and not his brother.
Yes. Mm. Yes. You know, he could not get over his civil war thinking that it was much more important to get rid of Huascar rather than the Spaniards.
Was Huascar going to rescue him?
Probably not. But you see, the thing is, that's not why he came. But they could have negotiated. And possibly Huascar would have been clever enough to understand that the Spaniards were a greater threat than Atahualpa was. And that the two half-brothers.
Yes. So they still weren't taking the Spanish that seriously, because there was only, 160 of them, and they had an empire with millions of subjects.
Yes, that's exactly right. They had standing armies. Atahualpa had three armies. One was the one near Cajamarca. Then there was one in between Cajamarca and Cusco in Jauja. And then there was one just outside Cusco. I mean, he was armed to the teeth, as it were. So what did he really have to fear? But the point was, by having him in Cajamarca, Pizarro could not really move, because Atahualpa was a constant danger. He could not take him along as his prisoner because he just didn't know what would happen next.
Right.
But then something happened that was much more important in the end. Pizarro had a business partner, and they had been in business together for a very long time. They were friends, and the man's name was Diego de Almagro. Now, Diego came back from Panama. He brought the ASEA with him, and he brought more men. Now, Pizarro had already cheated him once in a very bad way. When he came back from his excursion to Spain to get permission from the emperor to conquer the Inca Empire, he secured for Almagro, who was his equal partner, he secured for him a tiny little governorship somewhere in a piddling city in the north, whereas he secured for himself the right to become the governor general.
Pizarro now, did. What a yeah. So he had the permission to conquer the land and he would become the governor general.
That's right. Mm. Supreme ruler.
Yeah.
And Almagro was somehow, you know, kept on the sidelines. Now, when Almagro came back from Panama, they could start with the sharing out of the gold and the silver. Pizarro refused to give Almagro's men more than a tip, while he gave unbelievable amounts of gold to his own men.
Right.
So Almagro told him in all clarity, if you don't want to share here, we have to go down to Cusco. We have to loot Cusco. Otherwise, my men cannot make their fortune. And that's what they have come all this way for. And if we don't give them that chance, they'll start trouble. So he said, look, we can't take Atahualpa along on this trip. So all we can do is we can kill him.
Right.
So what they did was they set up a kangaroo court. And then Atahualpa was given a choice. Whether he wanted to convert to Christianity, then he would be garrotted. If he did not do that, he would be burnt. And of course, every priestly chronicler of Spain then said, hurrah, hurrah, we converted him. They did no such thing, because for the Incas, it was paramount that in death there was a body. That is why they couldn't be burnt.
Right, yeah.
That's right. There wouldn't have been a body for an afterlife. Mm. That is why the Incas mummified all their rulers.
Yes, that's right. Like the Egyptians, they mummified them so they could be resurrected.
Yeah.
But if he was garrotted, they thought that he would still,
His body would still be there.
So Heidi, he did convert then so he could have an afterlife to Christianity, yes. But it was hardly a conversion of spirit.
An afterlife in the Inca belief.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I know. Yeah. I didn't for the life of me think that he really took Jesus into his heart. He still would have had no idea what he was aiming for. See, this went on for a long time. They spent months together because we're in 1533 in August. So it was nearly a year together.
Yes, yes.
And then they still killed him.
Then, and as I said, Pizarro is said to have cried. Mm. There was, by the way, a great deal of objections to the killing of Atahualpa, especially those chess players. They said, oh no, we are not going to kill him. This is barbarous. We do not behave like that. And in the end, after he was killed, of course, he had to report that to the emperor back in Europe. The emperor hit the roof, said, how dare you spill royal blood? Atahualpa was no royal, but he didn't know that. How dare you do that? Because, of course, he saw the implication for himself. And but essentially, Pizarro no longer cared about the emperor, because what he really wanted was he and his men, they wanted to set up their own empire in the Americas and create a new nobility.
With all American. That gold. Yeah, with all that, the Inca gold. And is that what Pizarro did after he killed his foe?
Well, in the end, he and Almagro fell out in a very serious way. Again, it was because of the greed or stupidity of Pizarro. Because what happened was, once they had taken Cusco, Spaniards settled in Cusco, started to redevelop Cusco as a Spanish city, pulled down the temples and so on, as they usually did.
Yeah.
And then there was a huge uprising of one of the offspring of Huayna Capac. And the Spaniards were only about 200 held out in Cusco against an army of 20,000. They wouldn't have held out much longer had not Almagro come, and he came back from the conquest of Chile.
Right.
And he came with his army and he beat the Inca army.
And that was, we're running out of time, but that was basically the beginning of the end of the Inca Empire, wasn't it?
But, well, it was something much worse. It was the beginning of a civil war of Spaniards among themselves. And that took almost about 25 years till they settled that. But the Incas were so dispirited. Mm. They were so beaten. They never seriously tried. They missed a great number of opportunities to actually get rid of the Spaniards, but they couldn't rally any longer.
Yeah. And their leaders had died, which didn't
help. That's right. And there were no proper leaders there. Mm. That's right.
And a final question. How do modern-day Spaniards see this piece of history? How do they see Pizarro, say? Hero, villain, what?
They see Pizarro in many different ways. Of course, in the first place, they see him as somebody who came from very low down in a very hierarchical class system who had reached the top. But others, of course, they would say, my God, how cruel were these people? There is a lot of debate about the conquest in Spain. Of course, there was no debate under Franco, but since Franco, there has been a lot of debate.
Right, and that's what history is. But we've just done a small part of it tonight about this period in 1532 until 1533, when Atta Pavpa was killed. Thank you so much for chatting to me tonight. We're about to lose our line, but it's been great to chat to you.
Thank you, Sarah. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Heidi Soborn, who's the lecturer at the Institute of Latin American Studies at La Trobe University.
You're with Sarah McDonald on ABC Radio.